Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
It is a great day to be alive. It is Easter. I love telling the Easter story. I've been at all 17 Easter services we've had here as a church. Matter of fact, I've preached them all 17 years in a row. And one of the things I love about Easter is Easter is uncomplicated here at Healing Place. A lot of times you preach and you speak about things and you're just trying to figure it all out and you're unpacking it. A lot of times it can get a little complicated as you unpack different thoughts. We've always had one passion and one desire here as a church, and that's to keep Easter very simple, because it is a simple message. Now, don't look at the word simple and think that it's diluted or think that it's not powerful. Some of the things that are the most powerful things in the world are very simple. And the message of Jesus coming to this earth, providing an answer for us, providing a solution for us that you and I could never come up with ourselves, is the simple story of salvation that every single person is invited to receive and live in. So I look forward to Easter at Healing Place, because I just think it's a great time to unpack God's plan of salvation in a simple way that you and I can embrace it, we can walk in it, and it can make a difference in our life. So let's dive into that this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you, Father, that your word is powerful. We thank you that it's not by power or might, but it is by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we must decrease so that you can increase, Father. Thank you for this house. Thank you for every single person here. Speak to us by your Spirit. We love you so much. In Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. I like this piano. It makes me feel like I'm in Dillard's in the cosmetic section. Getting ready to order some perfume for Delin. Let's clap our hands for Josh. He did a great job. Love a grand piano. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of John. To the book of John. All the Gospels share the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I wanted to speak out of the book of John because I believe it sums it up well for us. I'll just pick out some different stories, different scriptures that will show us the story of what Jesus did for us in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I believe there's application for our life. And not only is there application for our life, not only is there general truth, I believe out of the scripture, you and I can make it our own. We can make it for our life in the right now moments that we're living in right now. John chapter 19, I'll start reading in verse 17. And he, speaking of Jesus, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side. This is a great statement. Jesus in the center. Jesus in the center. Boy, he is the mediator of man. He is the one who stands in between heaven and hell. He's the one who stands in between lost and found, blind and see, eternity lost, eternity found. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. He is the man in the middle for our life. It says, now Pilate wrote a title and put this on the cross that Jesus was crucified on. And this is what it said: Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. We'll drop down to verse 25. Now there stood by the cross Jesus, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. So you can see that even on the cross, with that pain, that agony, Jesus is aware. This tells us even more about verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished — that's very important — all things were now accomplished. Everything was accomplished on the cross that you and I need for life. It says all things were accomplished that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus said this, "I thirst." It's one of the sayings from the cross. Now a vessel full of sour wine or vinegar was sitting there, and they filled up the sponge and they put it up to the mouth of Jesus. One of the Gospels say that Jesus just kept turning from it. But the Bible says that when Jesus had received it, He said this, "It is finished. It is finished." Then he gave up his spirit. And we know that later on, Jesus was on the cross, and due to the Passover, he had to come off of that cross. So they got together. Some of his friends went to Pilate, said, "Can we take the body of Jesus off the cross? It cannot stay through Passover." And so some of the friends went and took the body off and took Jesus, and they placed him in right by a garden, right by where he was crucified, into a new tomb that had never been used before, it tells us at the latter part of John chapter 19. And they placed him there. And then the Bible tells us, and we know this, that on the third day, the disciples, Mary Magdalene, go early to prepare the body because it was burial. They could not do it. They had to take it down in a rush, had to get it ready for burial. They came to the tomb on the third day, resurrection day. And the Bible tells us that there had been an earthquake. The stone had been rolled away that had been rolled in front of the tomb. There had been a guard there to watch over the tomb because many of the chief priests and the Pharisees believed that someone was going to come take the body because Jesus had talked about that. But the power of God came and rolled that stone away. And when the disciples showed up, Mary showed up, he was not there. Matter of fact, the angel said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Can I have a good amen? Well, I love that thought when Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." That has huge implications to every person in this room. For when I came to church today, just as a thing we do, I came to church with a friend, or you know, I just came to be a part. Did you know that there's something that Jesus did that can change your life, that can impact your life, that gives you an invitation to change your whole life? It is finished. I used to think the three most popular or most powerful words on the planet was "I love you." And those are powerful words. You say "I love you," everything changes. The presence of "I love you" can change your relationship. The absence of those words can change your relationship. And there's three other words that are important too. If you say "I love you," you're going to say these words too: "I am sorry." Can I have a good amen? Anybody you love, you're going to apologize to. Anybody you love a lot, you're going to ask forgiveness. "I love you," "I am sorry" are powerful words. But as I've read this over the last several days, been studying the scripture, I don't think there's three more powerful words that have ever been spoken on this planet than what you find in verse 30. "It is finished." When Jesus said those words, "It is finished," he did not say he was finished. He said, "It is finished." Really means one word, finished. It's interpreted as one word, finished. Finished. You know, there's a great day in our American history, and it's when they finally connected the transcontinental railway. Well, from coast to coast, you could go on one train from the Atlantic to the Pacific, one railway all the way through. Before, you had to get off one train, go to another. It wasn't linked. It wasn't connected. Finally, the day came after decades of preparation, decades of planning, decades of work, where it was finally connected. You could be linked now from one end of our country to the other. Boy, it was a great day. They planned a big celebration. They got together and they knew that where they were going to lay the last piece of rail was going to be in between the border of New Mexico and Colorado. And it was a great day throughout our country. Everyone knew about it. They sent out telegraphs, let everybody know this was going to happen. And so on a day when it was to happen, the governors of both states joined together. Finally, we were going to be linked. Finally, we were going to be connected. And they got together and they stood on each side of that rail. They stood on each in their state, one in Colorado, one in New Mexico. And they had been given two silver spikes. And they were to drive it at the same time, the last spikes into this rail that would connect. And there they did. They drove those spikes. The band played. Da-na-da-na-da. It was just, everybody celebrated. It was a great day. Everybody was fired. Finally, we are connected. Later on that evening, the telegraphs went out. "Finally finished." That's all they said. "Finally finished." That was a great day in American history. But I can tell you about something that happened 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, there were spikes that were driven that did not connect us through transportation, that did not connect us from coast to coast, but connected man to God. And they were driven into the Son of Man and into a cross that connects man with God Almighty. The most important thing that has ever been said about you and I was when Jesus uttered those words, "It is finished. It's a word that means the debt is paid. It really means it's a word that that gives us a type of a debt that's so heavy that someone else has paid your debt completely. It is totally gone. It is finished. Now, the question is, Dina, what does that have to do with me? How can that make an impact on my life, where I work, with my family, driving my SUV, living my life, going to baseball practice, going to the plant, going to work out, paying my bills, dealing with my medicine, working out my situation with my grandchildren? What does it have to do with me? Can I tell you this? The Easter story has everything to do with you and I. It has application to us. When Jesus said, "It is finished," the work that Jesus did on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection can speak to our life and can impact our life. And I want to give you three things that are impacted in our life, or three applications that the Easter story has for us. Here's the first one. Here's the first one. That the death of Jesus Christ, due to the death of Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, it says to you and I that you and I have the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. His death says forgiveness of sins. That was a powerful thought. What do I do with my sin? Jesus says they can be forgiven. I love what Acts chapter 10 verse 43 says. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That's good news. We had a heavy debt called sin, but Jesus paid the debt. Because of him, he has paid the debt that you and I could never, ever pay. There's a young man who came to a pastor, this older pastor, had been pastoring a long, long time. And this man had been in and out of church. He was kind of an Easter Christmas Christian. He'd show up at Easter, show up at Christmas. Turn to the person next to you and say, "I'll see you next Easter." I'm just joking. Just a joke. And so he was always in and out. So he came to his pastor and he just grabbed him one day. He hadn't seen him in a while. He knew that he'd been living one foot in, one foot out. And he ran, grabbed his pastor after church. Said, Pastor, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Tell me what I must do to be saved. I've got to be rescued. Tell me what I must do to be rescued." And the pastor looked at him. He'd been talking to him for so long. He finally looked at him and said, "Son, it is too late for you." How would you like to hear that from your pastor? "What must I do?" "Sorry, the train has left the depot, my brother." Isn't that encouraging? He said, "It's too late for you." He said, "Oh, it can't be too late. There must be something that I can do. There's no way it's too late." He said, "It's too late for you because it's already been done. What you got to do, my friend, is receive it and walk in it and live it." Through his death, you and I can have the forgiveness of sins. Total forgiveness found in the total price of Jesus Christ. Total forgiveness. That's good news. Because I don't know if you've ever had anybody kind of partially forgive you. It ain't forgiveness at all. Right when you do something, they bring it up immediately. That's no fun. Total forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. Through his death. Now through his burial, you and I, because of the burial of Jesus Christ, we can bury our past. Bury our past. His burial says to us, I can bury my past. His death says we can have forgiveness of sin. His burial says we can bury our past. There's so many things that we think about in life. I don't know if there's a greater relief than the relief of knowing that our life and our mistakes and our failures, our sins, our challenges, our blunders, they can be buried. Have you ever tried to bury something that just seemed to didn't want to be buried? Or you do something in your life that keeps resurfacing? Just, wow, man, I wish that would kind of get behind me. And it just doesn't seem to kind of get behind you. It's kind of keeps showing back up. I remember when I was growing up, I just got my driver's license. And my dad had this old Cadillac that he loved. It was a blue Cadillac Eldorado. It was about 80 feet long. I mean, it was long. It was a long car. He loved it. He was Italian, loved his Cadillac. And so I just had gotten my license, and he asked me one day, he said, "Son, I know you've been driving the old Escort. I'm going to let you drive my Cadillac today. I need you to back it out and run down here and get something. So I'm going to let you drive." Here are my keys. He's real proud of his keys. And so he gave me the keys. I got in the car. I was so excited. I'd never driven that big old Eldorado. I sat in the garage, lifted up the garage door. First thing I did, 16 years old, was cut the radio on. That was mistake number one right there. Just cut the radio on, kind of 1980. You know, I cut it on, and you know, I put it in reverse, and there's like some music. I cut the music. I'm like, "Wah!" It's a little Boston, a little More Than a Feeling. More Than a Feeling. It's the 80s. I was rocking it. And as I put it in reverse and begin to pull out, somehow or another, my head hits the garage door opener. Yeah! Didn't even hear it. As I pull the Cadillac out, all of a sudden I see the garage door come across the windshield, hits the windshield, and then stops right there. I stop the car. I panic. Come on. 16 years old, Eldorado, radio playing, garage door on the hood. What does an ADD kid do? He punches it. Can I have a good amen? I just punched it, put it in reverse and punched it. Drug that thing all across the hood. Got out, was noticing the scratches on the hood, and then I realized the antenna was up. Anybody remember back in the day where there were dinosaurs and a thing called an antenna? When the dinosaurs were here. And this was one of those automatic ones. You cut the radio, it was bad too. I'd play with it. Snap that thing off. Oh! Laying on the side, nothing but a wire. I stuck that antenna and jammed it down in there. Tried to hide it. Hide it. I don't know what it is about mankind. We love to hide our mistakes. We want to hide our past. We want to hide our sin. I thought I had hidden it. That thing resurfaced on me. My dad thought someone had done it at work. So he made a big deal of it. Got on the security guards. Wanted to see the cameras. Wanted to call the FBI in. Do a retina scan on everybody that worked there. Gonna fingerprint the Eldorado, baby. About 2 months into that, boy, he was making a big deal of every day. I'm going to find out who tore my antenna off my Eldorado. I'm going to find that person. And when I find that person, finally, I just was so nauseated. That it was me. Oh! You confess to something like that, you got to cry a little bit. If not, just fake it till you make it. You know what my dad said? "Why didn't you tell me the day you did it? It'd be a whole lot easier on you." Through the death of Jesus, forgiveness of sins. Through the burial of Jesus, it's the only place you can bury something that won't resurface. Oh, we're going to have to deal with consequences. We're going to have to work through humanity. But the Bible says that He takes our sins and He throws them into the deepest sea. And you know what our Lord does? He just puts a little sign there that says, "No fishing. No fishing." That's what He does. If the death gives us forgiveness of sin, the burial gives us the burial of our past. What does His resurrection do? The resurrection of Jesus says to you and I that we can have hope for the future. Hope for the future. There's hope in Jesus for the future. Easter is not some look back holiday, some used to be moment. It's not mere historical. Easter is more about our future than it even is about our past. It's about our future. Simply put, the resurrection weekend, what we celebrate in the Easter story of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's all about a promise that through Christ, through the finished work of Jesus, our best days can be ahead of us, not behind us, but ahead of us. Say, well, Dino, that's great. I'm fired up about that. How do I make that mine? How can I make it mine? See, it's more than just a general recognition. See, acknowledging Jesus won't get you there. Admiring Jesus won't get you there. You got to receive him. There's a big difference between admiring the Savior and embracing the Savior for your life. There's a whole big difference between just acknowledging who Jesus is versus receiving him for your own life. How do I make it mine? Just three simple words I'll give you. How to make the resurrection weekend, the Easter story, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. How do I make it mine for my life? Here's the first thing you do is you have to admit that God, you are not first in my life. How many knows if that's the case, God is not surprised by that admission. Can I have a good amen? If he's not first in your life, then guess what? He knows it. Just like a person would. Just like us trying to convince our wife or a friend that you know, they already know that. They already feel that. They already sense that. The Lord looks right at our life. We have to admit that, Lord, you're not number one in my life. We have to admit that we're a sinner. That was hard for me to do, to admit that I was a sinner. But we have to admit that we're sinners in need of a Savior. Do you know what? Someone that needs rescued is not embarrassed by a rescuer. Someone that needs to be rescued is not offended when someone knocks on the wall or those precious people in Haiti that we've ministered to. We're sending out a couple tomorrow to go to Haiti to find out the more ways that we can minister there. Those people that were trapped, they were not offended when someone stuck their head in a hole and said to them, "Do you need to be rescued?" They said, "Of course we need to be rescued." They're looking for a rescue. And you know what? We need to be rescued. And we shouldn't be offended or pushed back when we think, you mean to tell me I'm a sinner? Guess what? We all are in need of a Savior. We have to admit it. Admit it. God, you're not first in my life. Here's the second thing that I believe that you and I could do to make it our own is agree. Agree. We admit and then we agree. Agree with what? Agree that Jesus died for me. And I need a fresh start in my life. And he is my fresh start. I need a fresh start today. He is my fresh start. You admit, you agree, and the third thing you do to make it yours is accept. Accept what, Pastor? Accept God's free gift. No matter what you have done. No matter what you've done. You mean no matter what I've done? No matter what you've done. Admit, agree, and accept. To make it yours, admit, agree, and accept. Accept what Jesus did for you. A free gift. No matter what you've done. No matter what you've done. He can give you a new beginning. He can give you a fresh start.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.